The Waldorf girls are going to come around and bring us a special at this time while the offering is being taken this morning.
Pastor Pals, everybody's coming on down. There you go. All right. Y'all help each other out. Oh, brakes. Good deal. All right. There you go. My goodness, y'all have got some good offering there. We got everybody. Here comes another one. Hey, Gavin. Recognize you there. Y'all grab a seat. Grab a seat. There you go. Okay, what I got here? What is this? A what? A box. What's in it? You don't know? Hey, Evan. There you go. All right. Well, we don't know. Let's take it out and see what we got here. Okay. One of the favorite things about getting a package is bubble wrap. Nothing else is in there. You know, this can be a present in and of itself. What is this for? Do y'all know? Oh, that's what it's for, to pop it. Anybody want to pop it? Y'all squeeze. Oh, yeah. Y'all did good. Let these have a chance. Okay, here you go. Y'all squeeze. Squeeze on it. Can you pop it? Oh, y'all. There you go. Okay, let these have a chance. Here you go. Okay. Let these have a chance. Who else wants to pop it? Okay, grab some there. There you go. That's a fun thing, but okay. Let me have that back. Does anybody know what this stuff is really for? Well, let me tell you. Do you know, Percy? Wrap stuff in it. And what does it, what is wrap stuff? That's right. What does this stuff do then? Oh, it pops. Okay, well, y'all are fixing to learn. Okay, if I want, say this was made out of glass and you didn't want it to break. You take it and you wrap it up because it's, we're pretending it's made out of glass. You wrap it up, and that way whenever I put it in the package, it won't, if it's made out of glass, that it won't what?
Break.
That's right. It won't break. And did you know that when you get saved, God wraps you in bubble wrap? That bubble wrap is called the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. That means He calls us home. We live forever with Him. So y'all did really great. So God protects us with bubble wrap called the Holy Spirit. Y'all did really good. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Thank you, dear Lord. Just thank you for protecting us, keeping us safe. It is only through the power of your Holy Spirit. We can't keep ourselves saved, but you do because you love us and you take care of us. Thank you for wrapping us up in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all walk. Please walk. Okay. Whoop. There you go. Be careful.
This time, Grace is going to bring our special.
This song we're going to sing today is, it's one we've sang before, but this time of year, you know, I was going through the store, you know, here this time of year, and you have Halloween decorations everywhere. And then the next thing, it's Christmas. Thanksgiving just gets overlooked. You know, and that's a very, very important time of year to me. I know I have blessings all through the year. And most of the time, like everyone else, I forget to say thank you. But I know where my blessings come from. So that's what this song is about. It's called I Know How to Say Thank You.
I don't know why some things happen. I don't know why some things end and others last. I don't know the rhymes and reasons. I don't understand the words some people pray. But when I see His hand of mercy, Lord, protect me from the dangers in my way. I know how to say thank you. I know a blessing when I see one. recipient of grace. Through the hours and the days, I know how to say thank you. Thank you. There were times today when angels stood around me and I couldn't even see. There were times when I was hurting and you stepped in and took the pain from me. There were moments when you stopped me so that I could smell the roses by the road. And though I'm not the wisest person, Lord, there are some things without a doubt I know. I know how to say thank you. I know a blessing when I see one. I'm a recipient of grace through the hours and the days. I know how to say thank you. Blessing when I see one. I'm a recipient of grace through the hours and the days. I know how to say thank you.
Amen. All the specials have been great and wonderful. Thank you, Grace and choir. Miss Margaret's daughters, y'all did wonderful. That was a neat rendition of that song. I really appreciate everyone who uses their talents for the honor and glory of Jesus. And just, again, good to see this good number. If you made it in for the worship service, thank you for coming and being a part. I hope you just joined in. I hope you listen to what God has to say, not really what Brother Michael has to say. What I have to say is of little consequence if the Lord is not behind it. It needs to be His words that you hear this morning. Someone commented this week about the message last Sunday. I tried not to just burn you out with a series. I enjoy a series. I do. It helps me to cover hard subjects, hard for me even, and even as we hit these different ones. If you picked up a bulletin, you know to head to Hebrews chapter 13. If not, just follow along. You've got the skeleton version there, the outline, and of our Christian responsibility. I like to read with my glasses. I increase the size of my font on my outline. I won't attempt to do without it today, except for maybe this illustration that I printed off. I ran across an awesome illustration. Matter of fact, I picked up a new illustration. Books and preachers are go hand in hand, and the more you appreciate God's Word. Matter of fact, I got tickled. I was talking to Coach Davis. Trey is really good friends with Patrick. And pray for him. He's preaching in Poland today. Poland, Arkansas. He'll be headed back, I think, and also, and then speaking of young preachers, Brother Sean Welchman, whom my daughter is dating right over there, he is going to be speaking tonight. And he's also a first-year student at CABBY, so pray for him and his ministry. The Lord's been using him a lot of fill-in work and whatnot, so lift him up in prayer, Brother Trey, as well as about 20 other students there at first-year students, about 20, 21 students first year. Remember them at the seminary. I was speaking of that, the Davises, and they were, they said, Trey was talking, and I got tickled because they said, Trey, your vocabulary sure has improved. And Trey said, well, you know, it's only got one way to go, and that's up. And probably from all the books he's been reading, he's had to read a whole lot. Well, they all have, much to some of their displeasure. And I just require, many of them just turned in a book report for me. I had a 7-page book report that I had them all do, and they just turned that in. I had a good time grading them. Hebrews 13, let's go ahead and take off. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. This, our Christian responsibility, really the first I started to put here as the title, our main Christian duty, our most important thing, but there's several topics that we're going to look at. Now, the first one is about love. And it says here in the very first verse, I mean, just four words. I mean, you could memorize this verse. I ought to put this in there for my students. Let brotherly love continue. That's a short verse. That's a good one, though. And this really, and if I do want to share this with you, some things that aren't in your outline, but some things about this 13th chapter. Many Bible students, people who've studied this for a lot longer than I have, believe that the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews is a cover letter. In other words, that this letter, this big book, the book of Hebrews, the first 12 chapters, is the main letter, and this is a cover letter that the writer included along with the main body of the book. Now, really, the first 11 chapters, and really, if you will, they don't include any specific doctrinal command. Really, the first 11 chapters is to the Jews, and all it does, what is the title for this series? It's right there, Christ is Better. This is the 30th message as we've kind of taken out this book and really looked at it. Okay? Christ, the whole purpose of the book of Hebrews is the writer telling the Jews how that Christ is better than the Old Testament sacrifices. How that he's better, and it lists several things. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Melchizedek. And it says that all of that was a pattern pointing to Jesus and how that Jesus fulfilled all of that. But Christ is better. He says the blood of bulls and goats has never saved anybody, but the blood of Jesus has. And then it goes on to say in chapter 11, he gives all those examples to how to live. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. Okay? So it's all about faith. And then chapter 12 does something rather unique, and that is it just encourages us to run a race of patience and to follow peace and holiness. And I've also called it the chastisement chapter. Follow these things because God will whip us if we don't. Because he only chastises those whom he loves. And then we come
to this chapter, chapter 13. Chapter 13 is this, basically this. If you was to read the whole chapter, there's 25 verses here. And verse 25 is his signature, the Apostle Paul, whom he doesn't name himself. And I think he did that for prejudice reasons. Did you know a lot of times people are prejudiced to authors? And they'll say, oh, that's some of Paul's stuff. And he's writing to the Jews, and he was hated of the Jews. Matter of fact, many times when he would go into a synagogue, he would, the first place that Paul, now synagogue, was a place for the Jews to worship when they could not go to the temple. There were synagogues in all of the cities surrounding that area. And so they'd go to the synagogue. First time Paul would go into a town, he would stop by the synagogue. Then he would go to the marketplace a lot of times. And so he would go in. As a matter of fact, what was he saying in Romans 10:1? He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Romans 10:1. And so his desire was to see his fellow countrymen saved. You know what that would be like? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Arkansas is that they might be saved. My country, that would be even broader. But just have a desire for your own family, your own kinfolks to get saved. And so Paul wrote this. And I do think that the idea is very plausible that this is a kind of a last-minute summary, because as we cover this chapter, I want you to notice how broad this chapter is. And we're just today, this morning, for just a little while, and y'all have given me plenty of time. Thank you. I got your attention. Can I keep it? Okay? And we're going to cover just six verses this morning. And let's just see about these six verses and the subject matter that we find. In this first part, let brotherly love continue. And if you will, let's just look at some of these other verses. Now, I put a lot of verses in your outline, but I can't cover them all. But we're going to see what we can do. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know, now can everybody in this room say this? We know that we have passed from death unto life. Explain that in country boy language, Brother Michael, that you've been saved because we love the brethren. I have a genuine deep down desire for other people. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Let me just use some colloquialism here. If you don't give a flying flip, I don't know if that's bad in your language, but if you don't give a flying flip about other people, you're probably not saved. If you don't care about other people, genuinely care about other people, you're probably, and I say probably because I'm not the Lord. Okay, I can't see in your heart. But it says here, I mean, you can theologize, if that's a word. You can homogenize. You can break down the word. You can study this verse and you can break it down every which way but loose. Folks, if you don't care about other people, you're probably not saved yourself. Now, I'm not saying that's a good point. A backslidden person probably feel like that. And you can still be saved. That just means you need to get your heart right with the Lord. But folks, love is one of the most important common denominators of a church. And churches that don't care about people will die. Matter of fact, no, I don't want to go there. Why would you want to even invite somebody if you don't feel like this is a loving church? Either A, start loving other people. B, get your heart right with the Lord. You say, well, I'll go somewhere else. Well, there, guess what? I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of different churches, and just about every church struggles with this. I don't care if you go to Mom and Pop Baptist Church, some other church, First Baptist Church, Second Baptist Church, 100th Baptist Church, all churches struggle with people that don't care. People that have sorry attitudes, people that are negative, people that all churches have cliques in them. Every church, Promised Land does, all of them do. But you got to see past people and see Jesus and say, I'm going to care. And it's like saying, I'm going to care for people in spite of so-and-so. So-and-so may have a sorry attitude at church, but it doesn't mean I have to. So-and-so may not care about other people, but it doesn't mean that I have to. They may not show much love, but I don't. It doesn't mean that I have to act that way. You see, yeah, a lot of times our service to the Lord is in spite of people. Folks, people are still in the flesh. And it says there, let brotherly love continue. And you look at the rest of Paul's writings. You know what? He commonly, in every one of his letters, he dealt with people's sorry attitudes over love. Now, do y'all remember what I spoke on last Sunday morning in the example that I used? You know, in Mark 8 and 9, don't go there, but you just remember. In Mark 8 and 9, he dealt with the apostles. Sorry, they number one, they argued with the Lord concerning his death. And remember that other passage where it says they were arguing over who was going to be the greatest? And that wasn't the last one either. They did it later on at the Lord's Supper. My goodness, you'd think that the disciples had more maturity than that, but that just goes to show you. The next verse is just back up some. In the book of Romans chapter 12, I got to change gears. I could just preach on our attitude and our love and the way it needs to be, but Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, now, he did write this one, the Apostle Paul. He said this, be kindly. Now, this is strong language for some of you that said this just goes against my Clint Eastwood personality. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor. Now, I'm going to go ahead, and if you have a Bible, you see what it says, but I'm going to just put it this way. Putting other people's needs or desires ahead of your own. That's what that last phrase means. Putting other people ahead of yourself. That's saying I'm going to take a step back. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop going to church because I didn't get my way. That's not what that's saying. All right? That's not what that's saying. It's saying, well, I'm going to support you, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to make sure that I lift you up. I'd rather somebody else get the credit. I'd rather somebody else have the limelight. That's fine. I'll be back there. Speaking of back there, a good illustration of this, and he probably doesn't want to be an illustration, but Brother Jeff Foster sitting back there running our sound system. You know, a sound man, nobody hardly ever thanks them, Nobody ever hardly notices the sound man until something goes wrong. But what do you do that for? You know, a lot of times where people are in the background, there's a lot of stuff that goes on at church, and people are in the background making sure the work gets done until something, a wheel falls off. Oh, yeah, yeah. Whose fault is that? We want to blame. And then, of course, I'm not going to turn there because I got to speed it up, but I'll go ahead and tell you, John 13 says this, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples indeed, that you have love one toward another. That's awesome. If you want to know where Jesus is, I guarantee you, folks, listen up. You can go to any church in Ashley County. And if you want to know where Jesus is, forget the hoopla. If people genuinely, not faking it, because in the King James it says unfeigned. That means not faked love. If you genuinely don't want to know where Jesus is, a church that loves one another or loves other people. If a person doesn't, you can't get away from that 1 John 3:14. If people don't care about other people, they need to do some checking. Get the dipstick out and see where the oil level is. See how much Holy Spirit they got. They may be empty. That's another sermon, Matthew 25. All right, so just check and see. Moving on, showing love to strangers back in our text. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, this is definitely a reference to, that's the reason I just put Genesis 18. I'm not going to go there, but the story about Abraham entertaining angels unawares. It was the Lord along with a couple other men. Now, those were angels, okay? And then later on, Lot, and some of those angels went over there. Neat story. Now, I've heard people and preachers say this, that you ought to pick up hitchhikers because they may be an angel in disguise testing you to see what kind of person you are. And don't pick up hitchhikers on that, man, especially ladies, okay? We live in a sinful world full of idiots. I don't know if y'all knew that. And guys, now I have before, but you know, I feel confident, and even sometimes I feel confident because I'm armed and I've got a license to do so. And number one, I've been blessed by helping other people, and the pastor, that hits a lot of time. I think I didn't see that in my contract whenever I surrendered to preach, but you're going to have to deal with the pastor, you know, one of you, mate, somebody, some stranger, and it's happened here not very often, you know, some stranger come by, passing on 82, see our church sign, take a right, come down here, need some help. I'm headed to see my sister-in-law, sister's cousins, brother's aunts that died, and I'm on my way, and I'm out of gas, and I just need some money. And I'm thinking, well, why'd you go 6 miles out of the way here? And you just kept going. But anyway, and all of that. Now you could get into the story about the Good Samaritan, and that story is found in Luke chapter 10, 30 through 37. But the one that I really get to later on, I think about James, where it says, if you see a brother in destitute and without clothes, and you say, well, I'll pray for you. Somebody that needs food and clothes, and you say, well, I'll pray for you. And you say, well, have a good day. And you don't try to help them. Now, definitely, that's something that is a great common, speaking of great common denominators, is a great common denominator for Promised Land. Is Promised Land Church, and I commend you, you're very generous, okay? And a lot of you give sacrificially, okay? And a lot of you love to help people. Some of you go above and beyond. And did you know, really, you can say you care, but until you go out of your way to help someone, number one, you say, well, I care. And you can care in your heart, but compassion is action. And true compassion is action that costs you something. It may just cost you time. Did you know you have to, and literally the other day, I say the other day, this is last year, the year before, there was a man come up, and he was driving this, it wasn't a passing inspection station, you know, we don't have that in Arkansas anymore, but it was a rough ride. And he said he wanted money. Now, my policy is, and you can do whatever you want to or whatever the Lord leads you to do, but my policy, if someone needs food or gas, I'm saying, let's go. And, you know, and I, again, being a man, I feel more confident doing this. I wouldn't advise it to ladies, but especially strangers. I said, let's go. And I said, I'm going to hop in my vehicle. You follow me to the store, and I'll fill your tank up with gas, and I'll buy you some food. Now, I ain't got a whole lot of money, but I will. Went and spent about $40 for this fella, and bought him some food and filled it. And while I'm sitting, if I'm going to spend some time, you're going to spend some time listening to me. And I witnessed to him and told him about the Lord, and a lot of times people like that are, well, I know the Lord, you know, and this and that. And listen, if they want help, give them the help and the Lord, okay? And be nice and compassionate about it. And you say, well, I don't have time for this. That's exactly right. We don't. But that is a common denominator of compassion. You say, well, maybe I help somebody that doesn't deserve it. You leave that between them and the Lord. Now, number one, yes, we can't help everybody. Secondly, none of us, unless y'all got me fooled, none of us are filthy rich, okay? So there's only so much we can do, right? Okay, there's only so much I can do. But, hey, I've got time. God's blessed me with a strong back, at least for now. And, and I can help somebody physically. And so I do what I can do. That's all God wants. Number one, God wants your heart, okay? He wants your heart. And if he can have your heart, that means, guess what? That the rest of you will follow. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, just like I preached last Sunday, whatever the most important thing is to you is what you're going to talk about and what you're going to do. Whew, let's speed up. Verse 3. Marriage is honorable in all. And showing love to... Excuse me, I skipped verse 3. I was on verse 4. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. In other words, all in one group right here. Showing love to the hurtful and neat. Many times, whenever you're trying to help somebody, people are afraid to get involved. We sink down. There's that scripture in James chapter 2 that I referred to. Think about this. Now, in our Sunday school class, our teacher, the class that I was in, Brother Steve, used an example. What if you came into church this morning and there was some stinking, low-down, just scoundrel people sitting back there on the back row? We got another row back there that's empty, so I'm not talking about the people on the back row. And so they're sitting back there, and what if somebody come into church and they're drunk or this or that? You know, there's some people that you say, well, I just don't want to be associated with that kind of lifestyle. Or I just don't want to be associated with that type of life. Somebody who talks like that, looks like that, acts that way, they don't have any respect for God's house. You know, they need the Lord. But a lot of times we don't want to get involved. It costs us time. Or they're hurting. You say, well, boy, they're going through some stuff. They're living outside of marriage, or they're this or that. And you say, well, I just don't know if I want to get involved with that. But folks, God wants you to overlook that. God wants you to look at their heart, see what kind of, person they are, but see what their needs are and do your best. It doesn't mean, again, that you have to give up your life. Now, some people are, like preachers and missionaries, are called to give their entire lives to a certain ministry or aspect. But God just wants you to do what you can do. In that James chapter 2, explains that also. It says in Galatians 6, 1 through 2, it says, brethren, if you see a man that has a need, which are spiritual, restore such a one. In other words, that they have a burden, they have something going on in their life, and they're going through some rough times, and they can't seem to overcome it. Luke chapter 22 is about Peter, the apostle Peter. And you know what it's about? Peter was ashamed of Jesus. And that whole scenario, matter of fact, let's turn there quickly in Luke chapter 22 and look at Peter's attitude when he was asked to stand up for the Lord. In Luke 22:54, okay, I'm going to catch it at the end. Peter's following afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall. Now, what's happening here? Jesus has been arrested. Peter, and we know John and probably Mark, there's some other instances that record this, followed afar off because it talked about the young man. That was probably Mark. But anyway, Peter sat down right outside the judgment hall and I've been there, and it's one of the few places where you can actually say, well, I've walked in the same place, exact place, that Jesus walked. It's pretty cool. But anyway, Peter's there, and a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and said, this man was also with him. And he denied, saying, woman, I know him not. And it says, and it goes on down, he denies him three times. Verse 61, apparently the Lord had just come out of a room or around the corner or whatever the case was. And Luke's account is the only one that records this. It says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter as he did it the third time. I think they locked eyeballs because it says that Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And it says in the next verse that he went out and wept bitterly. Peter was saved, and he was under humiliating conviction. Follow me very closely in what I'm about to say. Our number one Christian responsibility, and that was the title for this sermon. If you can deny the Lord by not speaking up for Him or letting an opportunity pass where you could have said something for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you don't get under conviction about it or feel, boil it down, if you don't feel guilty for denying the Lord or not standing up for Him, that's basically, can you not say that's what happened to Peter here? He didn't stand up for Jesus because he was afraid. But he, you talking about tore up inside. That's one reason I know Peter was. That's another reason I know I'm saved, because when I don't do for the Lord, and I, folks, I'm just as guilty as you and me. I'm in the same boat you are. I miss opportunities, but I know I'm saved. You know why? God tears me up when I don't do or stand up or say what I need to say. I'm under conviction, and I feel it in my heart. Okay, look at these last ones. All right. The next verse, verse 4, says this. Doing great. I think we're going to do all right. Marriage is honorable in all. Now, verse 4, I call it Christian chastity. Verse 5, I call it Christian contentment. Verse 6, I call it Christian courage. All of these are in line with the title of this message that I've got for you this morning. Do you feel responsible to try to do these things in your Christian life? In this first one here, verse 4, Christian chastity. Now, I put there fornication is an ugly word to some. Basically this, it comes from a Greek word, porneia, which is where we get our English word, pornography. And all that is an abuse of God's design. And so God designed us to be married. That's it. So and all that is fornication is an abuse of that. Sex outside of marriage is an abuse of God's design. And obviously, homosexuality is definitely an abuse. It's a type of fornication. Even if our country legalized homosexual marriage, is still an abuse of God's design. Never forget that day, the first time I ever said it in Promised Land. And Jones, Mr. Bobby Jones, heard me. And his, when his palsy was kind of, you know, taking him and had that affliction and all. But he got tickled and never would stop laughing. He was sitting there about where Brother Pete is. And he had just got tickled whenever I said that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And he never stopped laughing the rest of the service. But that, again, what? That's abuse of God's design. It is. And that whole, there's some more instructions there. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. You know, I read this. I don't know if I'd have the courage to preach all the ins and outs of it. I was reading a sermon. And it, man, he had his sermon. This is a big church in Dallas, Texas. And the title of the sermon was on the billboard, on the marquee out there. And it was a big service and big screen and all that. And the title of the sermon was this: God designed sex and it is good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd have the courage to preach that one or not. But he did. But he designed it for marriage. Okay? And it is a gift from God in the bounds of marriage. And that's why it says in this, marriage is honorable in all. And what's that next phrase? And the bed undefiled. That's God's word for you. Right out of God's word. And it says, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And what that, again, what that is, that's not saying that those sins send you to hell. There's only one sin. They don't. Just block that, throw that trash out of your mind. There's one sin that'll send you to hell, and that's rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior. What this means is people who practice this lifestyle but don't care. Okay? Moving on. Christian contentment, verse 5. And it says, if you have a King James Bible, it says, let your conversation. You know what that means? That means your manner of living. In 1611, that meant manner of life or manner of living. Be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And what that means is God will help you whenever you feel like, man, number one reason right now, probably the biggest lack of contentment among our generation, and it's directly tied to keeping up with the, picking on the Joneses and that last name earlier, but it's keeping up with the Joneses. We all want to keep up with TV and culture. One of the biggest things now about keeping up with the Joneses is I think we're kind of across the mountain peak a little bit here, but you know what the big thing is? The big peer pressure is? It used to be cars, but now it's cell phones, I think. You know, cell phones and this and that, keeping up with the Joneses, and what we got to have is, how can we live without them? I just took a step back in time. I went back. You ought to see my phone. It's like 15 years old. I got rid of my iPhone and went back just trying to save some money. And got rid of the data package and all that, some other things. But anyway, all I can do is, so if you try to text me, I won't get it. All right, go ahead and make that a public announcement. I don't have that anymore either. So I thought that was hard to get rid of. But you know what the Bible says here? Contentment. Contentment. Let me read you a story. The story that I need my glasses for. 1989, because it's small print. 1989, an 8.2 earthquake almost flattened Armenia, killing over 30,000 people. And I'll tell you where I got it just a second. Less than 4 minutes, earthquake 8.2 on the Richter scale, 1989. Amidst the utter devastation and chaos, a father left his wife securely at home, rushed to the school where his son was supposed to be, only to discover that the building where his son was flat as a pancake. After the traumatic initial shock, he remembered the promise he had made to his son. No matter what, I'll always be there for you. As tears began to fill his eyes, he looked at the pile of debris that was once a school, and it looked hopeless, but he kept remembering his commitment to his son. He began to concentrate on where he walked his son to class at school. Each morning, remembering his son's classroom would be in the back right corner of the building, he rushed there and started digging through the rubble. As he was digging, other forlorn and torn up parents arrived, clutching their hearts, saying, "My son, my daughter." Other well-meaning parents tried to pull him off what was left of the school, saying, "It's too late. They're dead. You can't help. Come on home. Go home. Face reality. There's nothing you can do. You're just making things worse." To each parent, he always responded with one line, "Are you going to help me now?" And he proceeded to dig for his son, stone by stone. The fire chief showed up, tried to pull him off the school's debris, saying, "Fires are breaking out, explosions are happening, gas lines are leaking, you're in danger, we'll take care of it, go home." To which this loving, caring Armenian father responded, "Are you going to help me now?" The police came and said, "You're angry and distraught, it's over." you're endangering others. Go home. We'll handle it. To which he replied, are you going to help me now? No one ever helped him. Courageously, he proceeded alone because he needed to know for himself, is my son alive or dead? He dug for 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours. And then in the 38th hour, he pulled back a boulder and heard his son's voice. He screamed his son's name, Armand. He heard back, Dad, it's me. I told all the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you're alive, you'd save me. And when you save me, that they'd be saved. You promised, no matter what, I'll always be there for you. You did it, Dad. What's going on in there? How is it? He said, well, there's 14 of us left out of the 33 in the class. Dad, we're scared, hungry, thirsty. Thankful you're here. When the building collapsed, it made a wedge like a triangle over our class. And it saved us. He said, come on out, boy. He said, no, Dad, let the other kids out first. Because I know that you'll get me. No matter what, I knew you'll be there for me. And did you know that's what God says about us? No matter what, contentment is saying, no matter what I have in life, no matter if God takes something, you know, Job, I know you'll be there for me. Be content with such things as you have, so that we may boldly say, my last verse is what? The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Can you say verse 6 today in your heart? Is God your helper? Do you have that much confidence? Do you know that you're saved? As we prepare for Him an invitation, would you bow with me for a word of prayer, please? Father, I thank you. You're there for us. You do ask us to love you. And if we really love you, we'll love others. If we really love you, we'll be content. If we really love you, we'll follow you and your design. And dear Lord, I know that many of us have people that we need to visit with, we need to talk with. And dear Lord, please help us to care. And dear Lord, just help us also, even if people discourage us, even if people are not as loving as they ought to be, help us not to return animosity, but to return love and be an example to others. In Jesus' name, amen.